I echo a happy Mother's Day. I mean, I thought about doing, sometimes we do a special Mother's Day sermon, but to me, one of the things I resonate with as a dad is probably the same as moms. I want to see my kids do well. I really do. I give anything to see my kids okay. And I think mothers are like that too, if you are a mom today. Oh, to see my kids do well. And so really what we can do the best, I think the greatest gift I can give you is that assurance that your children who confess Christ, they're going to be okay. And the reason I can say that with such certainty is from our text this morning in Romans. So we're pressing on in Romans to do chapter 8 together, this beginning of chapter 8 a little bit, this gift from God for us and our children, all who would confess and believe and trust Jesus. What's going on in life? You know, sometimes it doesn't seem that way, and our lives cannot seem, because we talked about this last week, the end of chapter 7, we talked about how there's this tension, you know, this beautiful law that says what we should do, and then there's me looking at, do I do it? And there's always this gap, there's always this, I'm not doing what I should do, and I want to, I see how beautiful the law is, if I could just do better, and what I'm tempted to do always is kind of say, if I would take some steps towards doing things better, then God would bless me. God would make things better for me. Like if I could get my act together just a little bit more, if I could do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Like that's the tension that we live in. And we talked last week about how actually the reality is that's what we've been released from. To come over and be in Christ. That's his thing, right? Who will save me from this massive problem, this body of sin and death? Who will save my kids? Who will save all of us? Well, that's the answer. It's this new thought, this different thought, this new life that Christianity brings, because the solution isn't to sort of resolve the tension, which is what I think certainly life must be about, but to get deliverance, to be released. And we're delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done. And this leaves us with a tension that continues, a knowledge that we're released. But what happens is, for most of us, it's like, there's this thing. What do I do now? So yeah, Dax, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe it. I see what you're saying about this tension. I continue to have it in my flesh and the life that I'm living now. We're never perfect. And man, my kids aren't either. What do I do? What do they do? And Paul's answer is direct and encouraging and helpful and most of the time totally ignored. Because Paul's answer is you live by the Spirit. We call it life in the Spirit. This is a huge, huge deal. And when I say that to you, if you're like me at all, even probably 10 years ago, I say Spirit, you say, huh? Like just kind of confusion. And that's because there's a lot of ways that this has been co-opted to mean some strange things. I mean, I loved my grandparents, but my grandpa was a part of a group where the spirit was you got together with other business guys and you spoke in languages no one can understand. Like that's the Holy Spirit. Or you think of signs and wonders, strange things, wonderful things that are amazing miracles, and that's the Spirit. We're living by miracle power. Where is it? Or there's a thing, talk about the Spirit, and it's like, okay, everybody, oh, you're pretty good. Let's all be really quiet. See if you can hear the still, small voice. And you're waiting to hear the still, small voice, because that's the Spirit that's going to tell you something about what you're going to do tomorrow. That's what people think. People actually think we're going to find this still, small voice somewhere. Or even worse, oh man, this Holy Spirit's an enabling power. It's going to, you know that tension that I feel about me not doing the things over here? And yet I know the law is good. What it's going to do, it's like a plug. I plug into the Holy Spirit by the proper amount of prayer, and it'll strengthen me so I can do it all. Yeah. And none of those things is what Paul's talking about. Not that the Holy Spirit can't give you power. Not the Holy Spirit doesn't help you over sin. Not the Holy Spirit couldn't help you speak in a language. Not that a miracle might happen through you. The Holy Spirit could. I'm not denying that anything's going to happen. But that's not what we are talking about today. you got to have this. This is huge. The answer to life on earth is entirely by the Spirit, and the Spirit is a teacher, a comforter, a connector, the one who continues to minister to your heart the truth that Jesus Christ died for you and it worked. There is therefore now no condemnation. That is, the Spirit speaks that to you. He has you. You are being used now in the life that you're living right now. And you need this because you're going to start saying, no, I'm not. I would be used if I was over there. I would be used if this changed. You're going to have all of those thoughts. And the Holy Spirit, you see, continues to speak the truth to you and me. So we need to see this. This is the Romans 8. And even the little piece of Romans 8 we're taking, the Holy Spirit's described several ways. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of adoption. Oh, good things. So we'll start this. This is Romans chapter 8. We'll pick it up in verse 1 where we ended with last week. Here it is. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This is number one, probably the most foundational aspect of the Holy Spirit for you to know about, is He's the Spirit of life. Every single person who trusts Jesus, every single person, I've turned from my self-righteousness to trust in the righteousness of Jesus for me. The Spirit of life is at work. This is a supernatural, amazing thing to what? Set you free from the law of sin and death. So this amazing thing. And I'm saying, wait, Dutch. It just switched us from one law to another. No, he means something different, right? The law of sin and death is what we've been talking about for chapters. We're not going to talk it through again today. We got to talk about this. The law of the Spirit of life. What's that? That's like the truth of it. Like, you've heard of the law of gravity, right? If I drop an apple right now, it's going to hit the floor because of the law of gravity. You see, the truth, the law of gravity, the truth of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, is this is what He has done. He has given you life. He has set you free from this tension that remains, but you're not living there anymore. You're in another room. You're in another place. He is the Spirit of life. So the Spirit just is, and what He does to you is this. He sets you free in Jesus from the law of sin and death, that is the tension that we've been talking about over here. Your basic resolution of, I don't do the law well enough and it's killing me, is you are set free. I really shouldn't say over there. I should say right here. Because I want to do the law, the moral law of God, but I don't. I'm trapped in the condemnation. Everything is oriented of that. You know, if I do the law better, it will go better for me. And I evaluate God's interaction with me based on my circumstances. And therefore, am I doing the law well enough to get the circumstances, the results that I'm hoping to get? I naturally do this, and I do this for other people. The reason why they're not doing well is they have sin somewhere, man. Sin has consequences, you know. That's a theory of working. And it's just, no, you've been set free from that by the Spirit of life. You don't become a super duper doer of the law. You become in Christ. Oh, intimately connected to the one who's done everything. Look how it's described there. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. That's amazing, right? Let me pause there for a minute. You know, understand, the law could not get rid of sin. The law was weak. It's not. The law's not weak. You and me are. We are weak. So look what he did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that's Jesus coming to earth, human being, and for sin, this is why he came, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus Christ did it and it worked. We say that a lot around here. It's on my door if you look closely enough. Jesus condemned sin. He didn't fight the law. He agreed with the law. And he died for us, embracing his own death, and in him we all died. The single most important thing about you in connection to the law is that you, not that you keep it, it's that you already have been condemned in Christ. The law says, okay, I'm done. You've been released. And so the life you and I have is by the very Spirit of God who, what? Resurrects the dead. That the whole sign of Jesus was that he died, and 3 days later, he died. Think about this. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He came back to life. What happens with you? You get life given to you by the Spirit who does it, right? This is amazing stuff. So I'm not concerned with the perfection of the flesh, but with the Spirit is who unites me to Jesus. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. See, now you don't have to worry about this stuff over here. It remains. It'll poke at you because it's not very good that the law continues to be here and your flesh, you, the you-ness, if you're going to judge yourself, you never match up. And I think what God's trying to do is to get that gap closer. No! No. I died. I live over here. I set my mind on things of the Spirit. What's that? And let me finish this little passage. We'll talk about it a little more. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the Spirit, right, is the testifier that Jesus has really done it. Jesus called this Holy Spirit the Paraclete, the Comforter, the closest word we have there, right? His role is not to prompt obedience in you to try and close the tension that you have or that you think other people ought to do. His role is to convince you and continue to speak to you because you need it, that he did it. Jesus died for you and it worked. That you and I might trust that. He sets your mind on him, the one who raises the dead. That means you're going to trust the one who makes you alive is the one who actually has the power to raise the dead. He makes you alive. That's why, right? I mean, you can look at these passages. We don't have time to look at them all, but you can go back and look. Okay, let's look at what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And you go to Ephesians 5 and you go to look and say, oh, be filled with the Spirit. There it is. And it's speak to one another in psalms and songs. And it's like worship. Make melody in your heart. Sing praise songs. Be thankful. That's because someone else has done something amazing. And in fact, don't push your own way because I want everyone to come back and resolve this tension over here. No, actually, the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit actually is the power that's in charge of you right now and the future. It's incredible. The number one thing that the Spirit is the Spirit of life. This is the way to trust in Jesus. He makes alive. Peace and life is over here. In fact, all the rush that so many have to get right with the law, to make the law the goal of the Christian, to focus on our law keeping, that backfires. It backfires, you guys. What do I mean? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. There's always a tension. There's a tension for you. There's a tension for your kids. But the first aspect of the Spirit of life, he gives life, and that's what he's doing, is pulling you away from that to say you're in Christ. Crazy important. And it's connected to the second. He's the Spirit of life, and he's the Spirit of Christ. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you focus over here, the goal of my life is better law-keeping. The only thing you can do to evaluate that is evaluate how you're doing in your self-righteousness. God aided, perhaps. You can say God aided self-righteousness. Sure. But that's where you're going to focus, and you're going to focus on that for other people. That's called being in the flesh. He's not talking about the flesh is my hand, you know, the physical flesh that I have. He's talking the closest we've had. We've been through this before, but you should know it's in Galatians 2, chapter 5. It's talking about the you-ness of you, self-righteousness, self-awareness, self-orientation, selfness. The closest word I have in Greek is ego. It means I in the Greek language. And it's where we get sort of idea of our self-awareness, right? What's your ego? I think of me, not me in Christ by the Spirit, not no longer I who live, but Jesus lives in me. That's this person over here. But me, like the, how am I doing? Let's evaluate me today. Let's look at how I'm dressing. Let's look at how I'm doing. Let's look at how well I'm presenting myself to the world and to God. Let's examine you and evaluate you. This is the selfness that I get caught up in, and I cannot please God in it because the law is over me. It never says, oh, you were perfect today. We've already been through some of this, but all he's saying is, you know what? You can't win over there. You guys are over here. Like, really good, right? You aren't around anymore. That's the whole deliverance. The tension is over because you've been released. You died along with Jesus who died. And that means if you have life, the Spirit of life does it. It's been done to you by something else. It's incredible. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're not over there, but you're in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. I hope you affirm this with me today. Every single person who's a Christian, every single person is going to heaven. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Paul's not saying, well, I just wonder, some of you guys that are Christians have the Spirit of Christ and some of you don't. No, he's saying, this is an affirmation. Since you do have the Spirit of Christ, oh, the Spirit of God dwells in you. He does. In fact, he says, anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. So this whole idea is that if you belong to God, the Spirit of Christ is in you. Don't ever let this go. You have the Spirit. This is affirming of everyone who's a Christian. Everyone's going to heaven. The Spirit of Christ is in you. But that means something for now. Not just for the future. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, yeah, I'm not doing well over there. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Don't tune out now. He's talking about life on earth, and you're going to miss it if you get lost in the clouds here. If Christ is in you, and he is, got it? He is in you. That means even though your body's dead because of sin, that means just like you die like everybody else. Every Christian is the same as every person who's not a Christian in this world. They all die. You're going to die. The judgment is in, Romans 5 says. If you sin, you die, your body, your flesh. But you're interested not in the death because you die. You're interested in the one who's going to raise you from the dead. Because death is no longer your story. What's your story? The Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is Christ's righteousness, his rightness, his goodness that you have. You've got it. But I don't feel righteous. Yeah, I know. I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about the statement of the Bible for you. So I believe the Bible. Good. Then believe this. Because it's strong, man. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he's at work. What is he going to do in your life? If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does. Are you with me? He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Oh my goodness. Resurrection life is not just for some future hope. Oh, it's a future hope. I die and I'll be resurrected. I'll be with Jesus forever. But he says what Paul's saying is, you know, you have this Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead right now. And so if you trust that Jesus was raised from the dead, and I do, anybody here going to argue about that? I don't really think Jesus was raised from the dead. Yeah, you are the most to be pitied. That's Paul. I'm just quoting him. No, I believe that. Well, then you also, right? Then the total reality is that he gives life to your mortal bodies through this indwelling spirit. That means Jesus Christ is using you now. Full stop. This is totally, absolutely huge. The Spirit gives life as He wills. The Spirit is doing as He wills. Jesus is having the Spirit use you in life, bear fruit, to do all He wants. Full stop. But I judge myself and I don't think I see the fruit that I think should be. Yeah, you don't judge very well. You're not the Spirit. Our whole job, the thing that the Spirit is telling us is trust Jesus. Trust what He's done. This is what He's doing. Oh, but doesn't that mean I go do the law? No, the tension remains in your flesh always. The law is beautiful. You should do it. You should want to do it. The reality, the law speaks to you and says you don't do it. That never stops. My trust is someone's taken me and put me over here and says, by the Spirit, I'm giving you the Spirit of life that makes things alive, and we're putting it on you and in you, and it's going to use you exactly as I want to. You may not even see what it is. You may not even know how He's doing it. It may be a smile in the supermarket. It may be a stubbed toe that lets you meet somebody. It may be you have no idea what God is doing, because He is a hidden God. He does things you cannot understand. It is way more than you'll ever know. That does not go against His law, but His law is there to say you can't. And the Spirit is there. Oh, I'm going to do some damage. The Spirit is there, because I get excited. This is amazing. To say He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. He's using you. I trust I am new. Why do I trust that? Because the Bible says so. I trust I am good. No, you're not. Yeah, I am. I've got Jesus' goodness. I trust I am useful. But I don't see my life. Have you seen how crazy, crummy my life is going? Yeah, I know. I get it. But you're not the one who's using you. The Holy Spirit is. You. This is fabulous. This is so encouraging. I'm a Christian. I'm Spirit indwelt. I've been given life by His Spirit to accomplish whatever God wants to accomplish. This is the message. It's not an exhortation to pour over the text to try and find some principles to accomplish. It's the opposite. He's saying the message is God is using you. That's the principle. Our faith is a trust, not just that I have the Spirit in some distant resurrected future, which is true and fabulous, but that actually the Holy Spirit is in me now. And we shy away from that because of all these funny things people do, and they say the Spirit. But this is not funny. This is your life. It's fabulously important. And that's why the Spirit's at work. We do know what it looks like, not what we do, but we know from the Bible that we do bubble over, right? The Ephesians 5 thing, we speak in psalms, that's praise. We sing songs, that's worship. We get thankful. We don't push our way on people, because there's nothing to push. There's a trust in all of us that God is accomplishing what He wants in you. You know, God's way more powerful than me. This is not let go and let God, because this, you never had the ability to hold on in the first place. Well, you're holding on too tight if you would just let go. Now, our trust is that God is doing, whether or not you realize it, whether or not you feel like you've let go. So open your eyes to reality. This is so amazing. If you realize your life right now is being used by God, why? Because of your good works? No. Because of your good habits? No. Because of your excellent law-keeping? No, 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 because the Spirit of life who raised Jesus from the dead is now in you, making a dead person alive. Oh, hugely important. Why is Paul doing this? Why am I doing this? Why are we walking through this text so slowly? It's a text that is a little confusing for people. We tend to kind of slide through it. No, 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 as we go slow, because it's meant to be assurance for you. Assurance for you. And it's not just about your own life, because I know my life. I trust that Jesus has died for me. And then I say, yeah, I'm okay. God's got me. But then I look out and I look at my kids. I look at my brother. I look at someone that I love. And I want things to go well for them. In my own heart, I feel like I don't really deserve things to go well for me, maybe. But I so want things to go well for you. And I think, how am I going to make things go well? Is I'm going to fix the law up and help you do it so that you'll get good consequences and things will go well for you. And that's not the way, right? The assurance that I have is that the Holy Spirit actually is in charge and is using you and is using your kids, moms. We have the trust of an amazing Spirit. The Spirit of life who raised Jesus from the dead, giving life to our mortal bodies. Trust Him. And this is to give you assurance and rest and peace in the reality that you who trust Jesus, you this is what you're trusting. You're trusting that it's true, that you've turned, that this is not the way, that this is the way to be in the Spirit. Because what? You become part of the family. You are. That's right here, and why He's called the Spirit of adoption, right here in the text. Just quickly, we'll hit this piece quickly. We'll pick it up next week some, but it's so important for you to see this, right? So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, Paul says, to live according to the flesh. So you don't try to perfect self-righteousness, attention. Let it be. You're dying. You affirm it. Death. You continue to try and you continue to fail. You don't stop trying to do the law because that's good on the earth. You should affirm it. Society should run that way. But I know I don't make it. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This sounds like go to the law, but it's not. The deeds of the body are self-righteous works to try and control our goodness by our disciplines. The very things we think bring life to me, says Paul in chapter 7. They bring death. So stop thinking that's the answer and trust the Spirit. That's putting to death the deeds of the body. I'm not going to trust them at all. I count them as rubbish, says Paul. And instead, I trust Jesus. I trust the Spirit's doing stuff in me right now. And you're going to live. For those, all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. See, that's the danger. You're going to be over here and we're going to be like, yes, I got it. The Holy Spirit's using me. And then I'm like, wow. Oh no, things are not going very well. Oh no, I see the tension that I still have. Oh no. And I'm going to kind of go back over here. Fall again into fear. Says, don't you dare. You stand over here. You stay here. You've been adopted by God. You're in His family. You've received the Spirit of adoption as His kids, not His sons. His sons and daughters, right? It's you're His kids. You're His family. He's got you. And you cry out amazingly, Daddy, Dad, I'm yours and you've got me. This is the Spirit, right? He testifies that Jesus did it and it worked. He promises that He's using you. The vast and incredible power that raised Jesus gives you life. You do not stop Him. You do not channel Him. You do not control Him. He is at work in you. Oh. And what He does and what He's doing right now is testifying, bearing witness to you, your heart, your spirit, something incredibly important. Look, the Spirit Himself bears witness to your spirit, our spirit. That we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. He is at work, and this is the work, to witness to you today that you are heirs of Christ, that the sufferings that are happening to you aren't a sign of disfavor or something to get out of. Your failures are not failures in any way that matters, because you're being released and you've been put in Christ and He's got you. This is a mindset that goes through everything. Your sin doesn't keep you from God anymore because you died and your life is hidden in Christ and you're sealed and you're in Him. You are His child. Things cannot go wrong. I don't know the details of your life, how you are being used, but in a very real sense, your story is exactly like mine. Why? Because you also, if you trust Jesus, have life given, the life of the Spirit who uses us all in this grand, amazing plan of God to accomplish exactly what He wills and then to welcome us home forever. We've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1 says. I'll end with this. We read in our small group this week, our men's morning things the last week, and it was a chapter on Simon the Magician. It's kind of cool because it's about the Holy Spirit. And it's there in Acts chapter 8. And he's a believer. He came to believe in Jesus. And then he saw the apostles come and they were laying hands on people and they get the Holy Spirit. And he was like, oh, I want that. That sounds really cool. So he goes up and he wants to buy it from the apostles, right? He's a believer. And he says, wait, I want more power. That's what I want. That's what he does, right? The ability to have cool things happening. And Paul like rebukes him. Why? Because if he's a believer, what does he have? The power. See, I want the Holy Spirit to manipulate and control and exalt me. I'm such a stinking sinner. And the whole thing is of Christianity is you've died. You've died to your self-righteousness. You've died to your self-exaltation. You've died to you being some big shot. You've died to all of that. And we trust that the Holy Spirit actually is using us and He doesn't use us like we want. I get to go pull weeds on a Saturday morning. Nobody sees me and I don't even do a very good job. I don't feel like that could be the Holy Spirit working in me, but it is. How do I know? Because of the Bible. I go sit with my mom and talk to her. I go talk to one of you guys walking down the road. I go run into somebody at Hagen. I go all the things that are in your life as you live. My underlying trust, my assurance, the peace that I have in all situations is that God actually has me. And it's not based even on how things go because sometimes people respond well and sometimes they don't. Sometimes I do well and sometimes I don't. Sometimes things are happening, but I'm living. And what underneath it all, there's a depth, there's a reality that I have put my life on and I put it on with you. We are here together. That Jesus Christ has done it. That the Spirit of life that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you. You will not stop Him. He is God. He is using you. The actual way of life is to rest knowing the Spirit has you. You don't get more of Him. You do not manipulate Him. You do not align with Him or else He can't do anything. Who do you think He is? We trust Jesus, and trusting Jesus means trusting the Spirit's at work in you, not you at work for Him. I can't wait to see when we get to heaven together. I can't wait to see how He used you. And it will have been through tears as things don't go as you would have liked to go, as the law continues to speak death to your flesh, as you had things that didn't go, and underneath it all to see the Holy Spirit at work bringing life and life that involves you and life that we'll see looking back going, wow, the Holy Spirit's amazing. Look what He did. It's going to be awesome. Do not lose hope today. God has you. And He has you forever. Will you trust this Jesus? He's that amazing. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this text and the depth of it. Lord, I pray we would understand what's going on here in the wonder of Your Holy Spirit given. Father, forgive me that I take Your Spirit so wrongly. I'm always seeking after power for me. But Lord, I pray we might rest knowing that You are using us today. Thank You for life that You give. Thank You for the wonder that we get to experience without even realizing it. And I pray that in this room, our family, we might have the assurance of knowing that we're adopted by You. We're in Your family forever. In Your name.